The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe for this Wednesday, the 8th of February in London. Coming up today,
Powell powers on. The Fed chief tells Bloomberg more hikes are needed.
Vanishing hope. The search for quake survivors continues as the death toll nears 8,000.
Full faith and credit. President Biden says the US will not default on its debt.
Less interest from rising rates, bounce back loan fraud and search will never be the same. Those are the stories we're looking at in today's papers, and I'm Leanne Gerrans.
Plus, taking it to the bank in pieces. Troubled lender Credit Suisse will pay some banker bonuses in instalments.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe on DAB Digital Radio London, Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington DC, Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Stephen Carroll.
And I'm Caroline Hepke. Here are the stories that we're following today.
The Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell has told Bloomberg that interest rates need to keep rising to quash inflation. Speaking in a question and answer session with our anchor David Rubenstein at the Economic Club of Washington, Powell said that borrowing costs may need to hit a higher peak if the strong labour market persists.
The labour market report for January, it kind of shows you why we think that this will be a process that takes a significant period of time. The labor market's extraordinarily strong. If we continue to get, for example, strong labor market reports or higher inflation reports, it may well be the case that we have to do more and raise hikes more than is priced in.
Powell spoke to Bloomberg after Friday's data showed U.S. employers adding 517,000 new workers in January, while unemployment fell to its lowest level since 1969. The Fed chief also told us he doesn't think inflation will get close to 2% until at least next year.
Now, the number of people dead after earthquakes which have devastated parts of Turkey and Syria is now nearing 8,000 people. Turkey has declared a three-month state of emergency in areas hit by two massive earthquakes, giving the government more leeway in rescue and reconstruction efforts. But Syrians fear that aid will not reach those in government-controlled parts of their country. Khalid Habubati from the Syrian Arab Red Crescent speaks now.
We need heavy equipment, ambulances and firefighting vehicles. We don't have firefighting vehicles to put out fires. We don't have heavy equipment to conduct rescue operations. There are a lot of issues surfacing now due to the sanctions.
That was the Syrian Arab Red Crescent. Now, rescue teams, including those from the UK, are still hopeful of finding missing relatives in the rubble.
President Biden has vowed not to let the US default on its debt, with a call for Congress to raise the debt ceiling.
The idea is that we're not going to be moved into being threatened to default on the debt if we don't respond. Folks,
The US president heavily focused his State of the Union speech on economic themes. Biden also called for higher taxes on billionaires and a quadrupling of the tax on stock buybacks.
OK, so that was the State of the Union. Let's also talk about earnings this morning. Société Générale's earnings beat estimates as debt traders outperformed. Revenue from buying and selling fixed income products and currencies jumped 56% in the fourth quarter. Overall, SocGen's net income was 1.16 billion euros. That's down 35% year on year in the fourth quarter, but it did beat estimates. The bank, though, has fallen short of a pledge to pay out half of its underlying profit to shareholders, returning about 1.8 billion euros through dividends and buybacks. That's only about a third of underlying profit. The firm decided to hold on to a bigger proportion of earnings to strengthen capital. Credit Suisse is to pay some of its junior and mid-level bankers their bonuses in three instalments. Bloomberg also understands that the embattled lender is considering cutting the bonus pool in half for this year. The belt tightening is believed to be more severe than at Wall Street peers. Separately in Asia, the Swiss bank is said to be dialing back some of its stringent anti-money laundering controls. This after they drew protests from clients and bankers and contributed to staff departures.
Here in the UK, Rishi Sunak's mini-cabinet reshuffle has left Conservative MPs unconvinced it will do enough to reset his premiership. The PM has repurposed three government departments into four, creating new ministries focused on energy security and science. Grant Shapps is taking on a new role as Energy Security Secretary.
We'll be looking at how we can make sure that people, you know, are able to get cheap, affordable energy, how that can be renewable, so it's good for sort of British jobs as well, and then, of course, exporting it across the world. So very important we get this right.
That's Grant Shapps speaking there. The reshuffle comes as a leading think tank says it believes the UK will avoid a recession this year. However, the National Institute of Economic and Social Research says one in four UK households will struggle to pay their energy and food bills this year.
Now, Bloomberg sources say that Meta Platforms is asking many of its managers and directors to transition to individual contributor jobs or leave the company. More on that story now from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Those sources say the process is known internally as a flattening. Higher-level managers are sharing the directive with their subordinates in coming weeks, separate from the company's regular performance reviews that are currently underway. Meta, which owns Facebook and Instagram, fired 13% of its workforce in November during its first major layoff, and sources say in the months since, staff have faced intense anxiety about the potential for future cuts. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
Okay, so those are our top stories this morning. One of the stories that did catch my eye, though, that we're reporting on this morning is the first all-electric Rolls-Royce, the Rolls-Royce Spectre. Our colleague Hannah Elliott is the first non-Rolls-Royce employee to have driven it. There's a great video, which you can find online, of Hannah's experience of driving it around the wine country in Cape Town. It's, of course, quite a big effort for Rolls-Royce to have made this changeover. They're doing it because BMW set the targets, which owns Rolls-Royce, set the targets they wanted.
Yes.
A significant portion of cars moving to all electric. Rolls-Royce is doing it by 2030. I did kind of laugh when I heard Hannah say it's just like driving a Rolls-Royce. I've never driven a Rolls-Royce, Caroline. I don't know. Have
this
you?
This is not informational, is it? No, I've never driven a Rolls-Royce.
Yes.
But I love the quote from Torsten Møller-Ottfoss, who spoke to us not that long ago, actually, about the move to EVs. And he talked about technology in the vehicle. We, by intention, didn't encapsulate a monstrous screen, said the CEO of Rolls-Royce. You have other cars for that in your garage.
Do you?
A nice line, yeah, a very nice line from the CEO.
I mean, it's a very impressive looking beast when you see it.
But it's only got two doors. I don't get that.
Why would you need more?
Well, because getting in and out of cars is pretty tricky if you're a lady in a skirt.
It is the largest doors they've had in a Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
They are the longest. It is a very large
shimmy into
car,
the back seat to of be a clear. Roller. Yeah.
The sort of experience that we all are thinking about this morning. All right, that's one of the stories that we are looking at this morning. Let's though turn back to more on Jerome Powell's exclusive conversation with Bloomberg's David Rubenstein. So. the Fed chief using the interview to push the message the Fed may have to hike higher than what markets have priced in for now. Our markets reporter Valerie Tytel is with us. Good morning to you, Valerie. Did Jerome Powell manage to convince markets then that rates need to go higher?
I don't think that's necessarily what he was out to do yesterday. He did say a statement, which the market hung on to, that said if the strong labor data persists, the peak rate may be higher. But look, we already know this. We know the Fed is data dependent, and a stronger than expected labor market would cause this component called core services ex housing to be stickier than he expects. And really, that is the main component he is setting his eye on. He was asked about his biggest worry of inflation, and it is this component. Will this component continue to soften? It's moderated just slightly, but this is really the component that of inflation that will be driven stickier if the labor market stays stronger for longer. Clearly, that was kind of his main concern about the labor market. But he didn't sound too negative about it. He didn't sound too negative of the fact that the labor market is too strong, that it's impossible for us to return inflation to target, noting that it's a good thing that the labor market is staying strong. At the same time, we're already seeing moderation in inflation.
Yeah, but there was market reaction. I mean, yes, the 2 years sort of finished where it started, the 10-year up. But there was a reaction in a way that we've not seen before, really, in recent weeks in the bond markets.
Well, equities seemed to like it, because yes. I think we were worried after the hot inflation print on Friday that this reemergence of the hawkish Powell from last summer, remember his Jackson Hole speech was very targeted, very hawkish. Would we see this kind of reemergence again? And we really didn't. But so that's kind of why equities really liked it. Fixed income, it got a bid right out of the gate because of his relaxed demeanor to that first question. But we ended the day with yields just slightly higher. You know, that goes without saying, you know, since this hot payroll print, two-year yields have risen almost 45 basis points. So there already has been a big repricing in expectations since that print on Friday. But look, the Valentine's Day, February 14th, is the next CPI print. Since we're so data dependent, it's really going to be down to that print and those components and that print driving it.
At what point, I wonder, does the message is quite clear for now? At what point does the Fed's message become a bit more nuanced, do you see?
Look, I think if, for instance, this core services component sees an uptick, then the message will change. Right. Then it will be clear that this positive message of disinflation from goods into services might not be happening to the extent Powell wants. Then the message will definitely change.
Do you think there's still a possibility? What is the thinking around the idea of a soft landing for the US? Because the strength of the US economy means potentially that's possible for Europe and for the UK, much more difficult.
Yeah, look. Again, this is a business cycle like we've never seen it. Powell has said it many times that it's almost just, we don't know. He's throwing his hands up saying, we're all in uncharted territory here, but we're going to react to the data. So to me, it's a very good thing that Powell is positive that the economic growth is a good sign, right? Because we would be worried and we would be very shaken up if he approached these positive labor market data, the positive GDP data, and him almost saying, this can't continue. I need growth to turn a corner because I can't fight inflation without it. And he's not really saying that strongly.
Okay, Valerie Tytel, markets reporter, thank you very much for talking us through all of the reaction to Jerome Powell's interview there with Bloomberg's David Rubenstein.
Coming up next, less interest from rising interest rates, taxpayers to foot a $640 million fraud bill, and search will never be the same again.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education, by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Now, the paper review on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The news you need to know from today's papers.
And Bloomberg's Leanne Gerrans joins us in studio with more detail on those stories. Good morning to you, Leanne. Let's start with the Financial Times. The headline reads, UK bank chiefs accused of failing to pass on interest rate benefits.
Stephen, good morning to you. Yes, so this is a story in the FT and it says the heads of the UK's four largest banks have been accused by MPs of really failing to pass on these benefits of higher interest rates to savers. The House of Commons Treasury Select Committee did question senior executives yesterday, and they were from Barclays, HSBC, Lloyds and NatWest, very familiar to us on the high street, about the effect of raising rates on their customers ahead of the announcement of their full year results. Now, we do know that these high street banks are going to announce results within the next 2 weeks, and they are expected to come in higher off the back of these rising borrowing costs that we've seen. And according to the FT, rising interest rates have really boosted high street banks' net interest margins. The lenders are denying that they had focused on profits over customer welfare, pointing to competitive products. Mm. But this is really the government pulling these high street banks over the coals.
Yeah, it's Harriet Baldwin, isn't it, who's the chair of that Treasury Select Committee, who was actually on air with us only last week on Bloomberg UK Politics. So, yes, interesting how pointed the questions were around those high street, big high street lenders. Having said that, there's a big hole in the wallet of the taxpayer. The Times headline says taxpayers foot £640 million bill for fraudulent loans.
Yes, indeed, Caroline. And I'll just outline that big hole to you. So new official figures show potentially fraudulent COVID loans are costing the taxpayer close to £1 in every £6. And that's to cover the losses of this key COVID scheme. The newspaper highlights data which shows the government has paid lenders around £1.4 billion. And this is all under the Bounce Back Loan Pandemic Scheme. But according to the Times, out of this sum, £640 million worth of facilities were marked as suspected fraud. Now, under the scheme, businesses could actually borrow up to 25% of annual turnover of up to £50,000 with these loans underwritten by the government. Now, you know the normal checks that we all obviously have to go through, the credit checks,
yes.
They were sacrificed. And the main reason for this was really to get this money distributed as quickly as possible to make sure businesses didn't go under. And the Times reports among large users of the Bounce Back Loan Scheme, actually, Caroline, you pointed that out to me, Starling Bank has flagged the highest proportion of loans as suspected fraud.
Okay, Leanne, the Wall Street Journal, an opinion article there with the headline about that technology story that we're all talking about. I tried Microsoft's new AI-powered Bing. Search will never be the same.
Yes, indeed. So the Wall Street's Journal columnist, that's Joanna Stern, has been testing out Microsoft's new version of Bing. But this is a little bit different because it is now powered by artificial intelligence. Now, Stern makes the point that Bing has often been the punchline for a good tech joke, but it's glad to say one thing. She says that this is about to change because she's tested out this AI version and she reckons it's smart.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, your morning brief on the stories making news from London to Wall Street and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed every morning on Apple, Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning on London DAB Radio, the Bloomberg Business app and Bloomberg.com.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Success. It's discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. And it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management and investment banking firms in the industry. Stifel. It's where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.